the final whistle on your home for Sporting Kansas City. Sports Radio 810, WHB.
Good evening, Kansas City, and welcome to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt alongside Connell McCourt, and not a pretty game of soccer to watch tonight. Not a great result for Sporting KC as they lose 2-1 at Independiente in the first leg of a two-game series, CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. But, Connell, I guess if you're looking for a positive tonight, this was a tough place to play. It was a quick turnaround for Sporting KC. It was a long ways away. It was a messed up field. And Sporting, even though they lost the game, they got the road goal, which, you know, could be huge, especially if Sporting KC can come home and pitch a shutout, which is definitely possible. You know, then they just need a 1-0 win to force overtime. And if Sporting KC, it's funny, I think with these two teams, they're so different. Sporting KC goes down to Panama. It's 80 degrees. It's 3,000 miles away. When Independiente comes here next week, it's going to be 40 degrees. Obviously, they're going to have to travel the thousands of miles to get to Kansas City. They're going to have no supporters there. I think Independiente was the favorite tonight, being at home. And this wasn't a great result for Sporting KC, but it could have been way worse. I mean, this isn't nearly what happened to Toronto last week.
No, it's not. And I mean, if you are looking for positives, there certainly are some to take from the game. I think when we seen the draw last week, as soon as Sporting had qualified for the next round, this was always looked like a potential banana skin. Especially with the meds that have been put in by the team, they've been traveling all over the place, has been well documented. And it was a tough goal tonight because the pitch wasn't great. I mean, I know excuses aren't going to be made by Peter Vermees, but the pitch wasn't great. Obviously, all the travel. There was a big personnel switch. 8 changes made at the start of the game. And it kind of told because Sporting looked very disjointed all the way through the game. They never really seemed to get their rhythm going. They never really seemed to play the football that we've got used and got accustomed to seeing them play. And in the end, to leave, obviously, a loss is never good. But to leave with only a 1-goal deficit, and especially with an away goal, bringing it back to Kansas City, it could have been much worse.
Oh, I mean, we'll go through the stats. We'll go through some of the big plays. I think you could make a case that, you know, Independiente easily could have had 4 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Sporting KC, you know, maybe a little lucky to get one. I know Johnny Russell had a chance late that was a good chance, but, you know, Sporting KC finishes with 4 shots on goal. Not a ton, obviously. And Independiente, man, their speed really hurt Sporting KC tonight. It seemed like they were behind the defense 7 or 8 times.
And that actually is one of the things that really worried me about tonight's game. There's only so much we can read into it because of the conditions and stuff that Sporting had to play in. But tonight, it kind of exemplified how much this team is actually might miss Ike O'Para. Because he has the speed in the back, and it seemed like we were holding a high line, especially in the first half, we were holding a very high line, and it looked like Independiente got in behind us with ease 4 or 5 times, and that was only in the first half. They always looked dangerous, their speed was always a problem, and we never really got the grips with it. And for them to only get 2 goals is probably a plus coming away.
If you guys want to join us, we'd love to get your take on tonight's match as well. Also, hoping to hear from manager Peter Vermees throughout the course of the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810. Phone lines are open if you want to join us. 913-3810-810 is the number. Again, 913-3810-810. And I think one of the big things we need to mention that you already touched on earlier in the program, you know, if Sporting KC goes down and they lose 2-1 at Independiente, you know, I think overall, Sporting fans are pretty happy with the result. Like we said, we get the road goal. We're coming home where we're going to have a huge home field advantage. I think in general, that's a good result. Now, when you say that's what happened and Sporting KC started 8 backup players, that sounds even better, mm-hmm. right? Because it's a lot. I don't know about you. I expected a lot less tonight, knowing that the team had traveled 3,000 miles, knowing it was hot, knowing it was a turf field. And even though Peter Vermees has praised this team's depth repeatedly, and the lineup he ran out tonight had a lot of good players. I mean, there was not a lack of talent on the field, but these guys haven't had the chance to play together, you know, in weeks,
no.
like since preseason. So to expect them from, and granted, so Shallowy's come off the bench a few times, Hurtado's come off the bench, Rose come off the bench. But these 11 guys, they haven't played together once.
No, and you could tell. You could tell, too, because it wasn't, as I said, it's not the football that we used to see in Sporting play. It wasn't fluid. It didn't move quick. They weren't getting feet and back, and they weren't passing and moving quickly, as we've seen them do. And they almost sometimes, it kind of looked like some of the players didn't really want the ball because the pitch was very bobbly. Every time the ball was coming to someone, it was every other pass was it was skipping up in front of them. And the players could almost sense that. And I don't know if a bit of fear crept in. They didn't really want the ball. Some players didn't really want the ball. But, I mean, that's just par for the course. You know, when you're playing this CONCACAF Champions League, you're going to have to go to tough places to play. And this was one of the places that the field, it wasn't in great condition, and it kind of showed because Sporting couldn't play their fluid football that we're used to seeing them play.
So the only three regular starters who started tonight for Sporting KC were Roger Espinoza, Ilie, and Matt Beisler. So kind of right there in the spine of the field. Mm-hmm. Espinoza, I told you I was a little surprised he started, but you made a good point that, you know, with his red card, he's suspended for the MLS match on Sunday. So it made sense to start him tonight, and I would expect Busio or Crazet to start in his place on Sunday in the MLS game against Philadelphia. Beisler starting as the team captain, and also it's a pretty big drop-off, I'd say, from Matt Beisler to Graham Smith, so not a huge surprise that Beisler starts. And how about this for Ilie? In competitive games, so Open Cup, Champions League, MLS, MLS postseason, he's now started and played 90 minutes in 56 straight games. So he has not missed a game forever, and he hasn't subbed out of a game forever. So I guess at this point, we just expect Ilie is going to start every single game that matters.
Because when he doesn't play, they don't look like the same team. He is the fulcrum in the middle. He makes them tick. And when he doesn't play, I think Peter Vermees, it's almost a bit of fear to drop him. Because if you do, who is going to play that role? Who is capable of playing that role in Sporting said? I mean, Roger's a great midfielder, as we've seen over the years, but can he do that job? I doubt it. Can he do that holding job, that especially as well as Ilie can? Because it's not just that Ilie can do that job. He's probably the best in the league at doing that job, calming everything down.
So who would it be? I mean, Felipe Gutierrez wasn't in the 18 tonight. Is he a guy? Maybe. I know he's not great defensively, but he could get the ball and pass the ball. Or I don't know. I don't know who it would be.
But I could see him. I mean, his initiative, his instinct would almost be to automatically go forward. Because that's what he is. He's an attacking player. He's a creative flair player. And I couldn't see him having the discipline to sit and do the job that Ilie does, because that is a very underrated position in soccer in general. And when you don't have a good one, it's glaringly obvious. And thankfully, we've got Ilie, and thankfully, he plays so many games.
Yeah, no doubt. 913-3810-810 is the number if you'd like to join us. 913-3810-810. Ben is up first tonight on the final whistle. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, guys. So first off, I wish we could get Kai into the Western Conference. I think they're far more exciting to watch than just about half the team. second, what was up with Daniel Shalloway tonight? I mean, he very easily could have been red carded for, you know, a gross overreaction to a guy just playing defense.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air, Ben, because it seemed like that was out of character for him, right? He's not a guy that plays like a thug or a bully.
Yeah.
But that's what he looked like in that moment. And, you know, we were just thinking, obviously in that moment he's frustrated, but maybe he's just frustrated overall at this point. I mean, he's a guy that you could make a case that he's the best finisher on this team, and he's not in the first choice starting 11 right now. So I think there's some frustration there. Tonight he didn't really get a chance to do anything offensively. So definitely a moment of frustration there, but also maybe just frustration overall building up here after the first few games of the season, and he hasn't really had a chance to get on the field and start.
Yeah, I mean, when they panned him with the camera, you saw a lot of eye rolling and a lot of like, why am I playing in this game and not the LAFC game? I mean, just, you know, I'd hate to try to read minds like that, but that's just kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, what'd you think, Connell?
Well, what you've seen, I mean, look, players want to play, especially good players always want to be on the pitch. And when players, especially as you touched on, he's probably one of the best finishers at the club. So it's probably as big a shock to him as it is to us that he's not actually in the 11 week in, week out, because 16 goals in all competitions last year. I mean, it speaks for itself. He was one of the better players last year for Sporting. So I think it could be frustration creeping in. And that's something, honestly, last year I thought was a bit critical about Shalby. I didn't think he had enough bite in his game. I didn't think he was tenacious enough. But tonight it seemed like he kind of stepped over it a couple of times. And I thought if Gerso didn't replace him as quick as he did, I thought he could have walked.
Well, and the other thing, you know, to remember with Shallow, he's been so good here early in his career. And last year, you know, tons of goals, great player for the team. He's 22 years old. I mean, he's not fully grown, mature. Like, you know, in 5 years, I doubt he would do what he did tonight.
Probably not. I mean, and as you said, yeah, look, it's probably just frustration. It's probably a bit of immaturity as well. He kicked out. I know he did do it a few times as well. It wasn't just the one time where he got the yellow card. There was a few times, as the caller alluded to there. He just, his whole body language just didn't look right. He didn't look like he wanted to be there. He didn't look like he was in the right frame of mind. And hopefully that can change and we can see a bit more of the player that we've seen last year.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ben. You have anything else you want to chat about?
No, I'll be there on Sunday. Looking forward to the game.
Okay, cool. Thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate it, and thanks for calling. Hopefully you call in after the game Sunday, and that is Sporting's next game at home, 2 o'clock on Sunday against Philadelphia, and then coming back Thursday, 7 o'clock against Independiente. So after tons of travel for Sporting, this was their third away match in 7 days, third away match in 3 different countries. So 3 different time zones, 3 different countries, tons of travel, and maybe the biggest Sporting KC has ever wanted to be home, the most they've ever wanted to be home in the history of the franchise, maybe right now, and they get to come home for back-to-back home games this Sunday against Philadelphia, and a week from tomorrow, Thursday, in the second leg against Independiente. And like we said, Connell, this was not the best result. I think you certainly, dream scenario was a win. I think early on we got the feeling that a win might be unlikely, the way this team of largely reserve players was playing and the way that Independiente was causing them all sorts of problems. So at that point, I would have been really happy with the tie. But at the end of the day, a 2-1 loss, it's not horrible, especially considering that, you know it'll be interesting. We'll talk about the lineup on Sunday. We'll talk about the lineup next week. But Peter Vermees and the team have really focused on this tournament, so I'm not sure what he's going to do on Sunday with the lineup, but I would think that next Thursday, I would think Sporting KC is putting out first-choice lineup to try to win this game. They need to win by a couple goals and try to advance, because this really is a golden opportunity. Independiente looked very good tonight, especially dangerous in the attacking third. But at home, you know, cold weather, if Sporting KC rolls out a first-choice lineup, I would expect them to win the game. What do you think about the lineup the next two games? Because I think we really missed the boat in the lineup against LAFC, at least I did. I thought the lineup we saw tonight is who we were going to see Sunday against LAFC, and I thought we would see the first-choice lineup tonight because Sporting has made such a big point about prioritizing these Champions League games. Well, that's not what happened at all. We saw the first-choice lineup against LAFC. Some people blame Peter Vermees for saying the team fatigued and wore down the last few minutes of that game. You know, take that for what it's worth. But tonight we saw the backup lineup. And I guess if I had to guess, I would think Sunday we'll see a bit of a mixed lineup. We'll see maybe 3 or 4 reserves and mainly starters. But I think on next Thursday, I think it would be kind of the lineup we saw the first couple games of the season. How do you think Peter Vermees will handle this? Because now he has started to rotate this team, but knowing that the schedule's still busy. I mean, this team's back in action again here in 5 days and then just 4 days after that.
I mean, it's catch 22 really, because if he does start out, if he does start his full 11 on Sunday and then plays a bit of a reserve team on Thursday and they get knocked out, it's, oh, why haven't you prioritised the Champions League? And vice versa, you don't want to get off to a start like Toronto got off to last year, where they completely prioritised the CCL and then ended up, their league form ended up suffering because there's players playing too many games and then sometimes playing some, say, worse players, I suppose, in the MLS games. But it's hard to read Peter Vermees, to be honest, on this stuff, because I was kind of the same as you. I expect him to sit a few more people against LAFC with these Champions League games coming thick and fast. But look, the MLS is the bread and butter, and Sporting know now that they've got off to a losing start, they're gonna want to cut that trend. And I can see him rolling out probably 2 or 3 changes from the original 11. The best 11 on Sunday against Philadelphia. I can see probably the likes of Kellen Rowe or Rodney Wallace or a couple of those players slotting in, but I think you can bet on a return of Melia and the return of Zusi and those type of players, because they're going to want to get a bit of a rhythm going here as well. They're going to want to be, the personnel are going to want to know each other. You're going to want to be playing with the same type of players, and And as I said, look, it's catch 22. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I would be surprised if he made a lot of changes to the original, the team against LAFC on Sunday against Philadelphia.
Well, at this point, you know, there's two games in 5 days. And I think they just have to look at it with the second leg against Independiente being an elimination game. I think they have to look at it, and I'm not going to criticize Peter Vermes. He knows a lot more about soccer than I do, but I would think they would look at it and say, which of these two games is more important? Like one out of 34 MLS games or an elimination game in the Champions League, right? And they've made a big point. I mean, they sent Nate and Carter to Panama just to do a radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, this, the team is really excited and really prioritizing the Champions League, which makes me think, like you said, we know Busio or Croze is going to start for Espinoza. You know, there's not much choice at the center backs right now, unless Fontas gets healthy. So I think we are going to have at least a couple new faces in there, but I would have to think he'd run out the first choice 11 in that Champions League game. But it'll be interesting because he hasn't been predictable, Peter Vermes, with his lineup so far this year.
Well, I think if we had got a draw tonight, I think it could have been a completely different situation. So they would have been coming back. You wouldn't have had to go through full throttle. I mean, I know Sporting don't like to really take the foot off the gas, but it would have been a bit more relaxed going into next week's game. Now that it is a must-win game, I mean, it was always a must-win game, but now especially going into it losing, they're going to have to probably play their full strength. And look, Peter likes to play his full strength team. He doesn't really like to swap it up that much, even though tonight he played a team that we didn't really expect him to play. I mean, yeah, you'll probably see a few different names, but definitely prioritizing the Champions League because it's the golden egg. No MLS team has ever won it. Sporting want to make history, want to be the first team to win the CCL, but do you risk letting your league form?
And, you know, I think there's an argument to be made that you can roll out less than your first choice 11 against Philadelphia, especially at home. You know, we'll see. Philadelphia's rested. They've only played one game, but they got bombed at home by Toronto, who feel like isn't very good.
Yeah, they're not a great side.
Maybe Sporting can roll out a half reserves, half starters lineup on Sunday, find a way to scrape out a 1-0 or 2-1 win, and then put their full efforts towards the Champions League. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's go back to the phones, and phone lines are open if you want to join us. 913-3810-810 is the number, and Rick is up next on the show. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, gentlemen. You basically answered my question because it was about the configuration of the lineups, because I thought it was reversed too, and I'm by no means a soccer expert. I've been a season ticket holder for 3 years. Spent some time in Germany, so I have a basic understanding. But, I thought they should have played more reserves in the game against LAFC and then tried to go for this one. But I understand it all. And I think you all have basically answered the question. So, shoot, I don't know what else to say right now other than I'm stoked about this season. I think they have tons of talent and you know, I guess my only thing is if you're going to go all in for the Champions League, then if it costs you a couple games early in MLS, I've seen another team come back from a bad start too, because I'm also a hockey fan. I'm from St. Louis originally, and the Blues have managed to turn it around. So I'll send it back to you guys. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, don't be a stranger, Rick. Appreciate the call. And, definitely be loud on Sunday out at Children's Mercy Park. I mean, it's a good point. I think if Toronto had not done what they did last year, I think we'd probably be less worried about it. That's just an example of a team that was, you know, defending MLS champ. They focus on the Champions League, and they just have a horrible season. And we were talking about this a little bit off the air. I just feel so much better about Sporting. I'd be shocked if they focus on the Champions League here the first 2 months of the season, and maybe they get off to a slower than average start in MLS. I'd be shocked if they don't still have a good season. I mean, this is a really good team.
It is. I mean, especially the depth they have this year, even on from last year. We thought Sporting looked like a deep team last year, but this year, I mean, you've almost got two quality players in every position. You know, I mean, Jalen Lindsay's not a bad right back, but then you've Graham Zusi coming back into the team, and I mean, centre back, they probably do look a bit short there, so it'll probably be a bit Graham Smith will probably have to be filtering in a bit more if Fontas doesn't get back to full fitness quick enough, but they have a lot of depth, and that is that's something that not every MLS team can say, especially with the additions they've made this year. The likes of Kellen Roy probably didn't have a great game tonight, but we've seen him in the past. He's a US international. He's a quality player. And they've got quality like that all over the team, especially in the spine of that team. Shallowy didn't really cover himself in glory tonight, but we know what he can do. He's not even getting in the first 11. So I would be shocked if they had anywhere near a disaster season like Toronto had last year.
It'll be interesting, though. It's definitely a busy schedule, especially here early in the season. If Sporting KC can advance, which would mean a win of some sort next Thursday against Independiente, they would be off from the Champions League until early next month. So they get a little bit of a breather before the schedule gets congested again, and they need a little bit of a break. I think this is almost a break of sorts, at least getting to have two straight games at home, because it's been a crazy travel schedule.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're going to be playing two games, and they're actually probably going to be looking at it as a bit of a break, which is kind of weird. But I think we're kind of forgetting, this is what you want. You want to be fighting on all fronts. You want to be in the Champions League. You don't want to be an MLS team who's sitting at home like Philadelphia waiting for the next MLS game to roll around. You want to be fighting on all fronts. It does have its detrimental effects, of course, because players do get fatigued. But, look, that's what the best teams do. You go out on every front, you try and fight, and you try and win every tournament. And that's what the fans here want to see, and hopefully that's what they can do.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'd love to take your calls. Thanks for the callers, Ben and Rick, this segment. We'd love to hear from you as well. Phone lines are open at 913-3810-810. Again, 913-3810-810. Sporting KC loses tonight 2-1 in the first leg of their two-game aggregate series against Panamanian club Independiente. The rematch will be a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, March 14th, 7 o'clock, at Children's Mercy Park. And Sporting KC, the good news tonight, they got a road goal. So if they can hold Independiente off the scoreboard next week, Sporting KC would just need one goal of their own to force stoppage time and penalty kicks. And hopefully Sporting KC can just go out and win 3-0 or 3-1, and then we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But not a great performance tonight, but definitely could have been a worse result, all things considered. All right, we'll take a timeout. You are listening to the Final Whistle Postgame Show here on Sports Radio 810.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The Man of the Match is brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry. At Joslyn's, Gary Joslyn himself will educate you and help you pick the right diamond, chain, or pendant. If you want to work with real Kansas Cityans, go to Joslyn's, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Joslyn's Jewelry, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Final Whistle Postgame Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt alongside Connell McCourt. Sporting KC loses 2-1 tonight at Independiente in the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals, one of two legs. Not a great result, not a great performance by Sporting, but that road goal couldn't end up being huge. As we take a look now at the Joslyn's Jewelry Man of the Match, you know, Connell, for me, not a lot of guys jumped off the page as having a great game tonight. I guess not a shocker, considering we did have a lot of reserve players in the starting 11. But if I had to pick, I'd give it to Ilya. Like I said, 56 straight games starting and playing the full 90 minutes for Sporting KC. He also got the only goal tonight on a penalty kick. So it's not the easiest choice of all time, but I think Ilya is my man of the match tonight. Do you have anybody else you think might be worth considering?
I mean, I have a hard time arguing with that, just because, as you said, there wasn't too many players that really gripped the game by the scruff of the neck. Was there? I thought Hurtado looked good in spells. Thought he looked good holding the ball up, trying to bring other players into the game. Two fullbacks didn't really have. I thought Rodney Wallace had a poor game, actually. I thought Shallowy had a poor game. Quasi, similarly. So Ilya would probably be the one that would jump off the page to you, because even Espinoza wasn't up to his usual self that we expect to see.
913-3810-810 is the number if you'd like to join us. Again, 913-3810-810. Also from Sam McDowell on Twitter, reporting from talking to Peter Vermees in Panama. Peter Vermees apparently said he did not think the team played well, which is kind of what we're saying. But given that, he's glad with the away goal and happy that the team has a chance to win the series at home. So I think that's a good way to look at it and kind of what we're thinking tonight. Certainly not the ideal result, but there are some positives tonight. The two biggest being the fact that Sporting did score an away goal, and they do control their own destiny now. They can come home and get a couple goals at Children's Mercy Park, and they should be able to advance in this series, assuming the defense can do a little bit better at home dealing with the speed of Independiente. They've been really good at home. Four goals at home against Toronto FC, two goals tonight against Sporting KC, and could add a couple more tonight as well. All right, let's go back to the phones, and they are open if you want to join us. 913-3810-810 is the number. And Sean is up first this segment on the final whistle. What's going on, Sean?
Yeah, I think we are lucky to only be down by one because, I mean, there were a lot of close calls. And, I mean, Independiente, I can see why they scored four against Toronto in that home leg because they, I mean, they were fast and they just, one-on-one, they had some skills, but then also they just were, they kind of swarmed too. So it was, I mean, I think we just kind of got out of there with the series still alive. But to me, the most disheartening thing probably just was that I heard a lot about having two full teams and that kind of being the goal of the team this year. And, you know, looks so good the first two games. But I think tonight, I mean, I'd probably say ragtag is the best way to describe it. I mean, we were struggling out there, I thought, tonight.
Yeah, team didn't play great. I think, you know, I think these guys haven't had a chance to play together either, probably since, what, near the end of the preseason. And even with that, you know, Beasley wasn't playing with his crew. Ilya wasn't playing with his crew. Roger wasn't playing with his crew. And even Rowe was with the first team, you know, for most of preseason. So I think there's some talent there, but I think, you know, it takes these guys some time to gel. I mean, just look at Sporting last year, how terrible they looked against New York City FC. And that was a really talented team, right? Versus this year, Sporting KC hits the ground running because these guys played together pretty much all last year, all the preseason. But I agree with you. I mean, the performance tonight wasn't great, but I think part of that is just, you know, these guys really haven't played together. There's some good individual pieces there, but I would think it would take them a little bit of time to, you know, really click.
Yeah, a couple of individual concerns I have. I mean, Rose played, what, a couple of substitute performances, and then he started tonight, and he got so much pub over the season. I mean, everybody lauded the trade and said they couldn't wait to see him play, and he really hadn't shown much. I mean, not even really a lot of flashes, and so I kind of hope to see a little bit more, even though it's still early. I thought Quaze really looked, you know, I wonder if this team plays as well as they played the first two games, which I think they can. Especially when they can not play, you know, so many games in a row and travel so much. I think that's more what Sporting's like, is the first two games. I don't know how Quaze really keeps up. I mean, you saw him kind of lose the ball. I mean, the field wasn't great tonight, but you saw him lose the ball kind of repeatedly. I mean, he's not a very technical player. And so I really wonder how much time he's going to get this season because he seemed to kind of I really can't see him fitting with the way we're playing this year. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough, and I still kind of wonder what's his best position on the field, right? I think last year he started most of his time up top, but towards the end of the season he was playing fullback, and he can also, as we saw tonight, he can drop into the midfield. So, yeah, I don't know. He didn't show great tonight. You know, I think Independiente's biggest strength is their speed, and that is not Quaze's strength at all. So if his touch got away from him a little bit, they would just dart in and take it away. So, like you said, the field wasn't great. For me, I almost put an asterisk by this game. That field was causing so much havoc, and I know both teams play on the same field, but Independiente is at least used to the weird stuff that we saw tonight. So I agree with you. He didn't have a great game. I don't think he's a guy pushing for a starting spot right now. But, Connell, where do you think he fits on this team this year? I almost view him as a guy that I think he'll be in the 18 every game, pretty much, because he can slot in at any of those three levels on the field. So I like his versatility, but I kind of agree with what Sean says. He definitely doesn't look like one of those guys that they signed for pretty big money, and he doesn't look like he's going to be an all-star by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Sean. Honestly, I thought he looked off the pace and everything. I didn't think he looked like even his whole body language didn't – he didn't threaten at all, but he also defensively he didn't really seem to be too willing to chase back or anything. I mean, I thought he was the worst player on the pitch, to be honest. I thought he was Sporting's worst player tonight. As far as where he fits in going forward, Sporting have added some decent players over the offseason. It will take them a bit to gel, and I mean, I feel like I'm not really sticking up. It is early. He still is getting to know his teammates and stuff. I think Rowe will come good, but as far as Quaze is concerned, I mean, I wasn't really sold on him last year, but tonight just sort of, it was sort of everything that I was worried about him as a player. He didn't really seem to threaten that much, and defensively, he offered nothing.
Well, and to your point, Sean, and I kind of said something similar about Rowe when Connell and I were watching the game, because for me, coming into the season, You know, the three guys I was most excited in terms of new players who I thought would make a big impact, and I'm going to count Namath as a new player, even though he was here before and he was here towards the end of last year. But, you know, for me, I was most excited to see Namath, Fontas, and Rowe. And I thought all three of them were good players who could at least be above average replacements and maybe even upgrades, you know, depending on if they got the chance to start. And Namath has lived up to the hype and maybe even been better than anybody could ask for so far. Fontas, I thought, looked very solid before he got injured in the last game. But Rowe hasn't shown that yet, like you said. And clearly, the talent is there. We know his history. We know he's seen time with the U.S. national team. He was the talk of preseason camp in Arizona. So you know it's there, and it's you're just waiting to see it. And I agree with you. He's the guy that tonight, I told Connell, I said, man, this is his chance because he hasn't shown a lot of flashes coming off the bench in limited action, and I was hoping he'd show some big flashes tonight. We haven't seen it yet, and hopefully we'll see that here in the next few weeks.
Well, you know, the best thing that I thought about tonight was they kept Namath on the bench. So I just think he's the kind of guy that needs to rest some. I mean, he's been kind of fragile in the past, and I was tempted to put him in, try to get a goal, but I think that probably was wise to, you know, just completely rest him. And then seeing Lindsay play, and then also Busio getting some minutes there at the end. I mean, I was encouraged to see that. So, they're just going to have to recover. I think this trip was a lot harder than, I mean, it started out so great, but I think it's ended up kind of really, you know, setting this team back a little bit. So hopefully they can get back and rally and kind of get things back on track here in the next week.
Yep, that's definitely the hope. And, hey, I'll see you at the stadium on Sunday. Okay, Sean?
See you there. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it. 913-3810-810 is the number. Sean mentioned Christian Namath. What did you think about Hurtado tonight? He, you know, we talked about Rowe hasn't made a lot of flashes yet. I wouldn't say Hurtado had a great game, but he had a couple moments where he flashed, and you kind of saw his speed and toughness and tenacity. And he almost reminds me, and I shouldn't say this, but he almost reminds me of a poor man's Dom Dwyer. I'm not saying he's going to go out and score 25 goals because that's not what I think at all.
That would be nice, though.
But you look at him, and he's tough. He's physical. He's got speed. He's got kind of a nose to go directly at the goal. So he has some qualities that remind me of Dom. And, you know, if he's going to be the number one backup at center forward, we did see some flashes tonight about what he might be able to do.
Well, he's another option. You know, he's something else that you can bring to the team that other players probably don't really do that well. I think he's very good with his back to goal. I think he's good at holding up the ball and bringing other players into the game, which, I mean, I remember for a spell last year we were playing Shallowy through the middle, and that's not Shallowy's game at all. He's more direct, likes going towards the goal. I think Hurtado could... I think he played okay tonight. I felt a bit for him because I felt he was isolated at times. I thought anything that was coming from Sporting was going down the wings, and he didn't really see a lot of it. But when he did get it, he looked like a tidy player. He looks like he's good with the ball at his feet. And as I said, bringing other players into the game, and especially with Sporting's wingers in Russell and Gerso recently being so key and pivotal, I think he could be a decent player coming off the bench throughout the year as it goes on, especially with, as Sean, the previous caller, mentioned, Namath's injury concern. Sometimes he can be a bit fragile. So it's probably another body there, a decent body that you can bring on, kind of in the same vein as Kyrie Shelton, holding it up and not being as direct as the likes of a Shallowy, sort of bringing other players in.
Phone lines are open if you want to join us. 913-3810-810 is the number. Again, 913-3810-810. Sporting KC loses 2-1 tonight at Independiente in CONCACAF Champions League action. And Matt is up next here on the Final Whistle postgame show. What's on your mind tonight, Matt?
Hey, enjoy the show tonight, guys.
Thanks, man.
Really, I'm just three quick questions. One, you guys have mentioned several times tonight about the pitch and the difficulty of that. Do you think that potentially, you know, you said you were surprised kind of they didn't start more guys tonight. Do you think maybe the safety of the players potentially had a little bit of play into what Ramiz was thinking and not starting the full squad?
I think it's a really good point, especially when you're talking about guys with tired legs. I think you take guys with tired legs and you put them on kind of a weird turf field. I think that is a greater chance of injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that may be why he put them in, you know, in the MLS game and then decided to rest them here, knowing that he still has a chance back home. And who knows? Second question, you know, you mentioned the speed of, and, you know, and wondering, other than that, what do we need to step up in the next game on Thursday? You know, is it possession? Is it creativity? Is it ball marking? Is it what would you say is one of the main keys other than keeping them from making the runs behind or back line? Yeah. And we're going to see a victory on Thursday night.
So, Connell, I'd love to get your take on this as well. But it's funny, you look at the stats and we outpossessed them 71-29%. You would not, like, thinking back to this game, it does not seem like we had the ball 70% of the time, but Sporting KC did. And passing accuracy, 85% for Sporting KC, 65% for Independiente. So looking back at the stats, really the only thing Independiente did is they were way more dangerous in the attacking third, right? Sporting KC did not cause a lot of danger. So for me, you got to stop Independiente from making these lightning runs behind the defense, but the other thing is you just have to be better with possession and passing in the attacking third. For Sporting KC, every time they got near the attacking third, it was little passes. It wasn't forward. It was just kind of horizontal, and they just weren't very dangerous. And they're more likely to do that on the road. I'd be shocked if they're not way more dangerous at home next week.
And I can't accredit Independiente for that because, look, they know their game. They know what Sporting plays. They know they like to play the possession. And I think it's worth noting as well, when Toronto played in Independiente, Toronto had 64% of the possession. It doesn't matter. Independiente won 4-0. It was those that were getting the ball, that were soaking up pressure and hitting on the attack. I mean, you've got those fast strikers, especially with Sporting playing a high line. It's easy enough to get in behind. And we've seen it was exploited tonight, and they could have had a couple of extra goals. But I think Sporting need, for next week, I think they need to be a bit more creative. I think you can see, we'll probably see much more of the same from Independiente. They'll probably bunker in even more than they did tonight and then try and hit on the attack. So it's really up to our players, the flair players, the likes of the Gutierrez and stuff, to the players that can sort of unpick the lock and play that one killer pass or whatever over the top to get our, to get us in what we can do, try and hurt them in the same way that they are hurting us.
Well, and to your point, and maybe part of the reason Peter Vermees fielded this lineup tonight is the home game is the more important game, right? It's the second leg of the series. And if he can run out four or five high-quality players that Independiente has not seen yet, yeah, I think that's an advantage too. I mean, I think Independiente was rolling out their best lineup today, and Peter Vermees wasn't. So I know they did see Johnny Russell towards the end. They saw Gerso towards the end. But both those guys were maybe the two most dangerous guys on the field tonight for Sporting KC. And if they can also roll out Graham Zusi, Seth Sinovic, Felipe Gutierrez, it would be a way more dangerous lineup.
To be honest, I don't know. I can definitely see Graham Zusi coming back in. I don't really know about Sinovic because of their speed alone. I think Rodney Wallace is a bit quicker than Sinovic is. And that would sort of worry me. Of course, I think Sinovic's a pretty good defender, but it's just with that killer speed and especially with the way they play. They play very much like a Leicester did when the year they won the league, soaking up the pressure and then just hitting you with what they can do, especially with the speed and with the ball over the top. And that kind of worries me if Sinovic is in the back line.
Cool, man. Did you have one more point you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, one more quick question if you have just a second.
Yeah.
I just kind of like to hear your guys' take on, so far into the season, even with the different kinds of games that are going on, who have you seen so far that has been a pleasant surprise? Maybe somebody has caught your attention that you weren't expecting. And then maybe one guy that's been a little bit of a disappointment that you expected more out of that really needs to step it up.
Connell, I'll let you start, and then I can give my take on that.
A player that's pleasantly surprised me would probably be Gerso, honestly. I mean, Gerso's shown in the past what he can do, but coming towards the end of last season and especially the start of this season, I think he's been super at times, just playing his game really well. And as we said at the start of the game, Shalvey was 16 goals in all competitions last year, and Gerso's keeping him out of the squad. So Peter Vermees knows a hell of a lot more than we do, and I think Gerso is probably the pleasant surprise, whereas the player that hasn't really done well, I mean, it's still early, but I would probably just harp back to Quaze based on the performance tonight. I just thought he offered nothing.
So I actually have a couple different guys. It's someone I mentioned in the last call with Sean. For me, Christian Namath by far. Like, I thought he would come in and be solid, but he's come in and looked like, you forget Diego Rubio was here. Like, we don't need Diego Rubio. Christian Namath scoring a goal every game. Now, granted, he's probably not going to score a goal every game. But for me, he's been a pleasant surprise because there was a little bit of doubt that he hasn't been a really high-level player since he left Kansas City, three, 4 years ago. So the fact he's come back and it looks like he's picked up where he left off, for me, That's my pleasant surprise. I thought he'd be pretty good. He's been great. And a guy that hasn't been bad but is a little disappointing to me is Felipe Gutierrez. He showed last year that he has the potential to be a great player in this league. You know, he was the MLS Player of the Month in March. He burst on the scene with that. And then thinking back to the playoffs, it was Real Salt Lake, right? The first leg of the playoffs where Sporting KC went there.
Rubio scored.
And then came here, and Felipe Gutierrez was an absolute monster in that second home leg. And I feel like Sporting KC has a very good team that's going to be a top three seed in the Western Conference. But for me, when Felipe Gutierrez is on and being a playmaker, I think they're a team that can win MLS Cup. But when he's not really active and not in that playmaking role, I think Sporting KC's a very good team. I think when he's on his game, they're a great team. So for me, it's a little disappointing that he hasn't made a big impact early in the season.
What about yourself?
Good.
Yeah, what do you think, Matt?
I actually agree with each of you guys in different ways, but I'm just excited for the season. I think there's a lot of potential, and hopefully we can bring a title again. So. Yeah.
Hey, that sounds great. Thanks for the call, Matt. Don't be a stranger, man. Appreciate it. 913-3810-810 is the number. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we can get some more calls if you want to join us. 913-3810-810. We'll also read through some of the highlights from tonight's match and some of the big plays that determine the result. Again, it's 2-1 Independiente over Sporting KC, the second leg, coming up next Thursday, 7 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.
The moment of the match is brought to you by Central Bank of the Midwest. Central Bank has everything you need to manage more than just your money, so you can get back to imagining even bigger possibilities. To learn more, visit centralbank.net/business. Central Bank, we do business better. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Dave Borchardt. Thanks so much for tuning in. Sporting KC falls 2-1 tonight at Independiente. In our moment of the match, I hate to do this, Connell, but I think for the second straight game, I'm going to have to give this to the opposing team. And Independiente, with an amazing long-range goal in the 59th minute, ends up being the game winner. Corpas, with an absolutely great strike. He'd only been on the field for 4 minutes. And was dribbling at full speed, and then from well outside the penalty area, just clobbered the ball into the top corner of the goal. And Zendejas was there, and he still would have had a hard time saving it. That was a world-class strike.
Yeah, it was postage stamp. I mean, he hit it right. Unsavable, almost, honestly, and no matter what goalkeeper's in there. It was a great strike. And to be fair, he was just off the bench. He was only on, just trying to get used to the speed of the game, and what a strike. I mean, he'd probably not hit another one sweeter than that in his whole career.
We mentioned Sporting KC loses 2-1 tonight. This is a two-game aggregate series, so the second leg comes up Thursday, March 14th, so a week from tomorrow, 7 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. The winner of this series will face the winner of the Atlanta-Monterrey series, and right now, leg one going on in Mexico, and Monterrey is leading right before halftime, 1-0 over Atlanta. You mentioned Atlanta playing virtually the same 11. I think it's 10 of the 11 that they played over the weekend, so they are really prioritizing this tournament as well. But MLS teams, the Red Bulls and Houston, both losing 2-0 at home last night. Atlanta losing 1-0 tonight. Maybe they find a way to get a tie in this game, but a game at Monterrey is a really tough ask. So I think there's a good chance we're going to get through this first leg of games, and I think the MLS will have lost or tied maybe the Atlanta game. I think there's a good chance the MLS teams will have lost all four of the first leg games.
And also worth noting that none of the teams that played that are still in CONCACAF Champions League even got a win at the weekend in MLS play.
Yep.
Every one of them, the best they got was a draw. I believe NY Red Bulls got a draw. But Atlanta were beat, Sporting were beat. So they're kind of going for broke here, and you know, sort of going for everything, trying to fight on all fronts. And but yeah, by the time next week rolls around, it could look like a clean slate of all MLS teams losing their first game of the quarterfinal.
913-3810-810 is the number if you'd like to join us. We have about 5 or 10 minutes left if you want to get in one last word here on the show. Again, 913-3810-810. We talked a lot before the game at Toluca about the altitude. You know, 8,800 feet, this was the highest altitude Sporting has ever played at. It'll probably end up going down as the highest altitude the team ever plays at. But tonight, nobody's really talking about the weather. It was 80 degrees. Sporting's been training in, you know, 20 degrees every day. Do you think that had any impact? Because, you know, we talk about acclimating to the altitude. And I know as a runner, you know, once it goes from spring to summer, it takes your body a couple weeks to get used to the heat and the humidity. I just, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just wondering, do you think that had any impact tonight on Sporting KC not being acclimated to that sort of temperature?
I think it could have. And especially, I heard Carter and Nate mention on the pregame that it's true. When you're playing on a turf field, like usually, especially in MLS, when you see the likes of Seattle and stuff, you play on similar pitches, they're peppering the pitch with water before the game just to try and make it a bit more smooth, try and make the ball zip a bit faster. Didn't look like they were doing that before the game tonight because that pitch was horrendous. Bobbles everywhere, balls bouncing everywhere, every which way. Nobody knew where the ball was going. And I'm sure the humidity and the heat down there sort of played into that.
So I don't know if that was field turf like we have in Seattle and New England or if that was like old school AstroTurf because that was, you know, players don't like field turf very much, but at least the ball bounce is pretty true. Like, if you're in Seattle or you're in England, you don't see bounces like we saw tonight. I mean, that was either a really bad field turf field or that was a really old school, like, AstroTurf field. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, there wasn't much give at all. I mean, you've seen the ball. You've seen it was a running theme tonight that Independiente were playing the ball over the top. And there was one ball that was launched over the top that looked like it was bouncing comfortably to Zendejas. And, I mean, it bounced and nearly flew back and almost caught Zendejas out. That would be a big plus for the likes of the Independiente players because they play on that pitch every week. They know every nook and cranny of that pitch. They know every square inch of it. And Sporting going into that different environment on such a poor pitch, it really told tonight because Sporting couldn't play their regular football.
All right, quick look at the final stats, and then we'll read through some of the highlights from tonight's match. Sporting KC outshot tonight 18-11 by the home side Independiente. Independiente also more shots on goal, 7-4. I mentioned these stats earlier, but possession 71-29 in favor of Sporting KC. You would rarely see that number and also feel like your team was dominated, but it sort of felt that way tonight. Passing accuracy, this is one that Sporting KC wins 99% of the time. And again tonight, 85% passing accuracy, just 65% for the home side. Corner kicks 6-5 in favor of Independiente, and duels won pretty close. Sporting KC narrowly edges that out 55-51. But that's one of those stats that didn't feel that way at all. It seemed like the ball was bouncing around the midfield and it was taking funny bounces. And it seemed like Independiente was winning all of those, but the stats would not bear that out.
Yeah, I mean, I remember remarking to you like halfway through the middle of the second half, it seemed like we were losing every battle in the middle of the park and the ball was going high and the ball was going low to feet. It looked like we didn't really know. We were winning zero battles. We didn't know where we were at times, you know, and it was slack passes, stuff that you don't usually see from the likes of Roger Espinoza and players of that, like Elie. Balls being given away that would never be given away. You've seen Peter Vermees gesticulating on the side, furious, but I think the pitch had a lot. But as you said, we don't like to blame the pitch and the conditions, but I think the pitch played in a lot to that.
And unfortunately, Sporting will have a huge home field advantage, but they don't have a weird field that will be a you know, big home field advantage. New York City FC sort of has something like that in MLS. It's not a bad surface, but it's a very narrow field, and they know how to play on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, fields can make a difference. It's not an excuse, but certainly it was a different field than Sporting KC is used to playing on in Independiente. Like you said, they know every nook and cranny, and they were prepared for the weird bounces, and Sporting KC was not in this game. All right, as we wrap up, let's read through some of the highlights. Independiente with the first good chance of the match in the 11th minute, a long-range shot, but it goes way over the top of goal. 3 minutes later, another long-range shot that ended up being a slow roller at Adrian Zendejas, who made the stop. 16th minute, Jalen Lindsay had to do some emergency defending with the speed of Independiente rushing at the defense, but he was able to do a backwards kick to alleviate the danger. In the 19th minute, Wallace had a shot cross. Not sure what it was for Sporting KC. I think it was a cross, but it nearly deflected in at the near post. And just 1 minute later on the ensuing corner kick, Barath had a header that had a great chance to score on, to be honest, but he put it right at the goalkeeper. Hurtado had a soft floating follow-up attempt that was tipped over the crossbar by the goalkeeper. But other than the penalty kick, those were the two really good chances for Sporting KC early in the match.
Yeah, they didn't really create much. And as I said, that was a lot to do with how they defended, how Independiente defended. They weren't really pressing high at all. It looked like they were sort of set back and waited till Sporting got into their half, and then they were swarmed. And it, as you said, they were forced to play those small pass, quick passes to try and create something, try and pull people out of position, but it didn't really work.
Zendejas was beaten twice tonight, but also made some big plays. In the 23rd minute, he was quick off his line to stop his shot on the break, and just 3 minutes later in the 26th, he came up with a big save as Ive got behind the defense, but Zendejas stood tall to make the stop. Again, it was Independiente applying pressure again 3 minutes later. Barra with a shot in the box that went wide of goal. Didn't strike it that well, but he made a quick turn and put a shot nearly on frame. In the 33rd minute, Sive had a shot cross. Not sure what that was either. That was caught by Zendejas. And then 33rd minute, same minute, Brownie with a long-range rocket that went just inches wide of goal. So Independiente applying pressure after pressure and pressure, and they finally got that goal in the 39th minute. Again, it was Ive, who was a handful tonight for Sporting KC. He got past Barath and sent a perfect ball across. Or I should say the attacker got past Barath, sent a perfect ball across, and Ive, first time, poked it in, kind of put it behind and under Zendejas, who looked to be in a pretty good position. But for Ive, his third goal thus far in Champions League action this year, and the speed caused the whole problem. Barath couldn't keep up, and then Ive just dropped back from the back line, put himself in position, and no one came with him. He ended up being wide open, and it wasn't a tap-in because he wasn't that close to goal, but he made it look like one with a very good finish.
He did, and he was a constant thorn in Sporting KC's side all night. Didn't look like the defenders knew how to handle his pace at all, and it was that was the same thing Independiente were trying all night. If it wasn't over the top, it was that ball through the middle of the two center halves, and his speed will be something that Matt Beisler and probably Botan Barat are going to have to be a bit more wary of in the second leg.
Sporting KC nearly gave up what would have been a back-breaking goal in the 44th minute with Zendejas way out of goal, could not win the challenge. Brownie rounds the goalkeeper and has not a wide-open net. There was one defender on the goal line, but Brownie had a chance to really put the game on ice, but his shot went wide in the 44th, and that took us to the halftime. And at that point, I think me as a fan, I was very glad for the halftime whistle to get here because Sporting KC needed a break, and they came out much better at the start of the second half. Really a sloppy defensive play by Independiente as Jalen Lindsay gets crushed in the box on what was really, it looked like it was going to be a dangerous play, but he didn't connect very well on his cross attempt. It was trickling harmlessly at the goalkeeper, but he got kind of crushed into and also got his foot stomped on. A little surprising maybe to get that penalty call on the road in a CONCACAF game, but I think it was the right call. Not much argument there, and then Ilya steps up and buries the penalty kick. Did you think the PK was the right call?
I think it was on second glance. When I couldn't actually believe that they give it the first time around because I didn't actually see anything. It was hard to see in fast play, but probably the right decision. Stupid defending by the defender, and I'm sure the manager will have a few choice words for him after the game because, as you said, it wasn't even that dangerous. You know, Lindsay was going away from goal. All he needed to do was be shepherded out of play, and the defender makes a really rash challenge and gets Sporting back into the game.
So I'm not going to talk about Ilya's celebration, but let's talk about his penalty kick because we were kind of talking, once it was called, who's going to take it? And looking at the lineup, there wasn't anybody that jumped off the page, but as you pointed out correctly, Ilya was the primary penalty kick taker last year. It's no surprise he stepped up. And even though the goalkeeper guessed right, it was just a great PK by Ilya.
Great penalty. And ice in his veins, you know, as there always is, which is surprising enough, seeing as he's always wearing long sleeve shirts.
Right, he's always cold, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just par for the course for Ilya, isn't it? He steps up and no doubt, really, keeper guessed the right way, but doesn't matter if there were two keepers in there, we weren't saving that.
And again, though, right away, Independiente gets back on the front foot. In the 57th minute, Brownie with a long-range free kick that barely missed. In fact, it glanced off the post, and just 2 minutes later, it was that amazing long-range goal we talked about. It's almost an unsavable shot by Corpas from long range, a great strike just 4 minutes after coming onto the field off the substitute's bench. 64th minute, Hurtado made a great move as he kind of gave a stop-and-go. Slowed down in the box, then put on a speed burst, got around the defender, but his ball across ended up being deflected off the goalkeeper or off the defender and rolled harmlessly to the goalkeeper. But we saw kind of the speed and the burst there by Hurtado in the 64th minute. In the 67th, Rowe, this is kind of the one play he made tonight, a very long-range attempt, very ambitious. The keeper kind of spilled it. But it did force a diving save. Rowe struck it really well, but really no way you're going to score from there unless the keeper messes up even worse than he did. And after that, it was substitution time. Johnny Russell came on for Rowe just 1 minute later, and he had some dangerous moments on the pitch tonight. 72nd minute, Ive put the ball in the back of the net again, but the offside flag went up. That would have ended all suspense there in the 72nd. Just 1 minute later, Johnny Russell, who we mentioned, dribbled in the box, doing what he does best, got past a couple defenders, but was unable to get a shot off. Let's see what else, anything else happens here. 77th minute, Brownie gets past Barath, chips the goalkeeper Zendejas, but misses just high. That was another chance for Independiente to put this game on ice. Jurso comes in for Daniel Shallow in the 78th minute. I really liked Peter Vermees' substitutions tonight. I thought both those guys came on and caused a little bit of danger. In fact, just 2 minutes after coming on, Jurso had a shot from a tight angle that deflected and went just wide for a corner kick, but nearly found the back of the net. Final sub in the 81st minute, Busio for Quaze. Busio did not do a lot in the last 10 minutes or so. Sporting KC with a couple chances late. In the 88th minute, Jalen Lindsay with a cross that nearly floated in the back post, landed just on top of the net there in the far corner. And the 89th minute, I know I stood up out of my chair and was grabbing your arm because Johnny Russell got behind the defender, had a chance to set up the shot on his favorite left foot. And I think he was trying to just curl it in the back post, but it didn't curl. So he put it about a foot wide. But that was a great chance for Sporting KC to steal a point because we just went through the highlights. Independiente could have scored four or five goals tonight. That was really the best chance from the run of play for Sporting KC, and Johnny Russell put it wide.
I think it would have been a bit of a smash and grab if we had scored that, to be
honest.
For
sure, yeah.
I don't think Johnny will want to see that again because Busio was in a great position in the middle of the 18-yard box, and he was unmarked. Johnny, yeah, you're right. He tried to get a bit more whip on it than he did, and it just ended up sailing wide. But probably a fair result at the end of the game, to be honest, that they took the win. But gee, that would have been great welcome news for Sporting KC fans and for the team to bring that back.
That'll do it for us here tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for all the calls, guys. Hopefully we'll keep hearing from you throughout the season. We know Sporting KC has a quality team, and people are excited. We're excited as well. We'll be back with you afterwards Sunday against the Philadelphia Union. 2 o'clock start at Children's Mercy Park. I don't want to jinx it, but the weather looks pretty good. We're temperature in the 40s. During the daytime, there should be some sunshine, so a chance to get out and maybe not have to wear the full parka and the winter boots and everything. It'll be interesting to see what lineup Sporting KC fields against Philadelphia, who's not an elite team. But Sporting KC needs to get some momentum back. They've now lost 2 straight games, 2-1. But then again, looming on the horizon a week from tomorrow is this rematch against Independiente, the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. Thursday, March 14th, 7 o'clock at Children's Mercy Park. Peter Vermees and his coaching staff, a lot to think about, and we'll see what he does with these lineups the next 2 weeks. All right, thanks to Nathan Wilhelm producing the show. For Connell McCord, I'm Dave Borchardt saying so long. Sporting KC loses 2-1 tonight at Independiente in CONCACAF Champions League play, and you've been listening to the Final Whistle postgame show here on Sports Radio 810.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City's exclusive home for Sporting Kansas City.